Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
I use this song as the intro for probably the first, like, I don't know, 70 episodes of Talking Nets. Obviously, this is Hov, Jay-Z, big part of the Brooklyn Nets branding. When they brought the Nets from New Jersey to Brooklyn, I hated that. Had me mad at Hov, for real. When I bring the Nets, I'm the Black Branch Ricky. Stop, Jay-Z. We're good with the Nets in the Meadowlands. We had a basketball team up the turnpike, but I understood. Year 10 in Brooklyn is right now, and they wanted to take the Nets out of New Jersey for greener pastures, right? They wanted the Nets to be a real NBA team that could attract real NBA talent and real fans. There were Nets fans in New Jersey, but they figured bringing the Nets back to New York and branding them not as a New York team, but Brooklyn, which hadn't happened since the Brooklyn Dodgers, they thought that that would be the right move, and I can't say it was the wrong move. I like the Barclays Center better than the Izod Center, which used to be Brendan Byrne and Continental Airlines Arena. And I like our jerseys. You know, the Knicks can't figure out how to put one cool jersey together outside of their classic white jerseys that they should wear at home. That's a whole other conversation, their city edition. The Nets roll out multiple fire jerseys every year. I was coming in here today in my Nets jacket as Evan was walking out. He's like, I like that jacket. I'm like, I bet you do. I'm like, I bought every Nets. Like last year they had the city edition where they did the mashup with the New Jersey Nets logo into the Brooklyn. I bought everything. Hat, scarf, jacket, warm-up jacket, jersey, shorts, socks. Even the Nike SB Dunks. I have every single thing that they made in tribute to the New Jersey Nets. It was a long time coming. I remember when they moved the team, I'm like, when are they going to pay homage? When are they going to have a night where they bring Vince Carter back? When are they going to do a Vince Carter bobblehead or a Jason Kidd bobblehead with the old New Jersey Nets logo and jerseys? And they finally did it last year a little bit. It was a mashup of things, but it was a tribute to the New Jersey days. And now in year 10, it's just the never know Nets. More dysfunction and drama. And here's our last call of the night on Kyrie and the Nets. Max is in Nyack, New York. You got it, bro.
Hey, appreciate you taking the call.
Of course.
Listen, quickly on Kyrie, just the one of the best basketball players I've ever seen in my life.
Same.
On the court, I've sat courtside and watched him. The guy is amazing.
Yep.
Totally amazing.
Checks all the boxes.
And he's not going to
steal
my
part.
Joy because the Giants, I'm a rare Giants and Jets fan because my house is split up. And if the Giants played the Jets, I'd root for the Giants, but I love both teams.
Mm-hmm.
And Thanksgiving Day is Cowboys Giants. The Giants are 7-2, the Jets are 6-3. And my question to you is, did you think that would be happening in August?
No, of course not. I came in last year. Around this time, my first show was November 23rd, and both teams were done. They were out of it. It was like week 14 or 15, and we were already talking about the draft. Oh, they got two top 10 picks. Who are they going to take? Are they going to trade?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so no, I don't think anybody predicted that. Thanks for the call, Max. That's the last Kyrie Nets talk call of the night. I'm good on it because then we're going to end up talking about Django and Amistad and judging people's racism off of how they react to fictional movies or depictions based on events that, you know. All right, let's reset the table here and let's lock in on the Giants. And not so much about the Giants, but let's talk about the Lions. The Lions are a team quarterbacked by Jared Goff, who was a number one overall pick, who was a Super Bowl quarterback, did take the Rams to the Super Bowl a couple years back. One of the worst Super Bowls we saw. I think that Super Bowl ended up 13-9, a Belichick classic. We'll get to Belichick in a few minutes as well. But the Detroit Lions are a team that has hit on their draft picks recently as well. And they're led by Jared Goff. To me, Jared Goff is... who would you rather have? And I'm putting this question out there. I'm resetting the table for some calls to come in. Would you rather have Daniel Jones or Jared Goff? I think I'd rather have Daniel Jones in year four. I think Daniel Jones still has some growing to do. I think we haven't seen the best of Daniel Jones. I think we know who Jared Goff is. I root for the Dallas Cowboys, unfortunately. And there was a video that came out of the Dallas Cowboys mic'd up the week that they played against the Lions. And Trayvon Diggs is talking to, I think, Anthony Brown, two cornerbacks for the Cowboys. And they're talking about picking off Jared Goff. They're talking about waiting on him to throw the ball to them, sitting on some routes and his throws. And they said something that really stuck with me, and it stuck with Cowboys fans. And I think a lot of people on Twitter ended up retweeting it. They're like, he can only throw the ball but so far. Talking about his arm strength, right? Like, Jared Goff is this big guy. He looks like he's got a strong arm, but he is not chucking the ball 70. He's not chucking the ball 70 yards down the field. What he's doing is dinking and dunking, and he's getting the ball to Amon-Ra St. Brown and Khalif Raymond. They just traded T.J. Hockenson. They have some other tight ends, but really, they're a run team. They're a run-first team, in my opinion. I mean, they try to throw the ball more than they run it, but there are some games, if you go and look, where Jared Goff completes under 20 passes, doesn't attempt more than 20, 25 passes, and they have to run the rock, whether it's Jamal Williams or even Craig Reynolds filled in for a little while, but now DeAndre Swift is back, and he's one of their picks that they hit on. They've hit on him. They hit on Aiden Hutchinson, who Giants fans are going to get a full look at Aiden Hutchinson this week. He's legit. If you haven't seen him from Hard Knocks, if you didn't see him last year where he was in the Heisman running at Michigan, like, that kid is a can't miss guy. Like, he had a play. Brian Baldinger, if you follow Baldy NFL on Twitter, he had a play last week against the Bears, a goal line play where he was lined up to the left of the formation, and he came across the formation and tackled David Montgomery, who's a strong running back for the Bears. He tackled him and turned with him and tossed him like he weighed 100 pounds. It was impressive. So they've hit on DeAndre Swift, Penei Sewell. Penei Sewell is a monster. Baldy was also talking about him too. On their offensive line, he is a house. And you got him to deal with. You've got Amon-Ra St. Brown to deal with. Amon-Ra St. Brown's whole thing is he knows every wide receiver that was picked before him. He's a little short, but he's fast and he's strong. And if you watch Hard Knocks, you saw that his dad was, I think, Mr. Olympia or something like that. And he's also got his brother who plays for the Chicago Bears. Like, they're NFL receivers. He's got a chip on his shoulder because all these other receivers were taken before him. He's a really good receiver. Coming out of USC last year, he did some damage. He was hurt this year, but he's back at it. And he's a guy that is going to just keep showing up play after play, running his routes hard, getting open, catching the ball. He's going to keep coming after that Giants defense. Let's talk about the matchups, right? Another pick that they hit on was Jeff Okudah. They weren't sure about him, but this year Jeff Okudah is really starting to look the part. Jeff Okudah is number one. He's a corner for them. Whoever he matches up with on the Giants, I just think he's going to have a leg up. I don't think the Giants have a receiver that's going to be able to cook him, that's faster than him, that's stronger than him, going to be open. Like, there are some interesting matchups in this game. You cannot sleep on the Detroit Lions. When I'm looking at what they've done this season, right, I talked about the Dallas game. They just had nothing in that game. They had 6 points, 2 field goals, and the Cowboys were able to win that game. I think that might have been Dak's first game back. But other than that, the Lions are a formidable opponent that I just think right now they're getting it together. They're figuring it out. They've won back-to-back games. They're coming into MetLife Stadium feeling themselves after beating two division rivals. They beat the Lions, or they beat the Bears 31-30. They beat the Packers, which they never do, and Aaron Rodgers 15-9. But when I talk about these close games that they lost to the Dolphins, who everyone's saying is a legit team, and Tua's an MVP. They lost to the Dolphins 31-27. Their defense just couldn't hold. Dolphins came back and beat them. They lost to the Seahawks by a field goal, 48-45. They lost to the Vikings, who are, you know, everyone's now talking about they're legit. They're 8-1. They lost to the Vikings 28-24. Close games. They lost to the Eagles, who just lost their first game, 8-1. They lost to the Eagles by a field goal, 38-35. So there's something in there, right? There's something in that team. They have it. They just aren't to the point where they finish games. And I've heard on Hard Knocks, Dan Campbell talk about the second half and the fourth quarter, the witching hour, which I refer to a lot because I'm a red zone fan. That's where games are won and lost. And the Lions the last 2 years have lost games in that time. The Giants this year, that's where they've won games, close games. It's gone their way in the fourth quarter, in the witching hour. They've been able to kick the field goals or find the end zone or make the interception or make the stop. But the way the NFL is set up, it's any given Sunday. So you can't always bank on, oh, we're going to come through in the clutch moments down the stretch in the fourth quarter. We're going to make it happen when we have to make it happen, you know, late in the game. I think this is a game that the Giants have to control from start to finish. I think this is a game that the Giants can't afford to trail for long in this game. They have to control the clock, run the football, which that's what they're going to do anyway. But run the football, keep their offense off the field, and get points. You can't be settling for field goals. You got to put drives together and punch it in. And I think this is a week where we see Daniel Jones take a step. I think after, you know, he made that play, getting the ball to Slayton under duress, on a third down, just doing enough to get the ball to his playmaker. That turns into a 54-yard touchdown. You can't expect that, but you got to expect him to throw the ball downfield, take some chances. He was mic'd up, and you saw Daboll say to him, hey, if there's a throw you like, let it rip. It's week 11. At this point, if you don't trust the guy, what's going on? You got enough reps. You've got enough film. You've played against enough opponents, and you've got enough wins that now, late in the season, there is no more playing conservative. They're going to have to take some chances. They're going to have to. This defense is a defense that they should be able to take some chances and cash in against. They're going to have to throw the ball downfield. I don't even have to say they're going to have to get creative. They've been creative with their play calling based on the lack of weapons in their roster. But they are going to have to get creative. And this is a game. I heard Evan say this, but I said this before Evan. Shout out to Evan, though. This is a game where I think they're going to have to score 30 points, the Giants. And I know they haven't been able to do that, but against this team that has a shaky defense but has an offense that has been able to put up 30 points multiple times this year, this is a game for the Giants. They have to outscore them. The Giants have to be able to score 30 points. They haven't done it all season. And I said on the Thursday Night Live show yesterday with C-Mac, they got to get in the end zone three times. They got to get in the end zone three times. 21 points can come from the touchdown, but another 9 points from three field goals, whatever. They got to get in the end zone. And what I'm hoping for, Giants fans, is that the defense helps them out. You need a scoop and score. You need a pick six. The defense has to score. What's the Giants defense for, you know, any time touchdown this week? They're probably somewhere like plus 700, plus 800. I might put $100 on that. The Giants' defense has to create a turnover and take it to the house. They can strip Jared Goff. They can definitely strip DeAndre Swift or Khalif Raymond or Amon-Ra St. Brown, one of these little receivers. Scoop and score or a pick six. Help out the offense, because the offense might not be able to find the end zone three times. If the offense finds the end zone two times and the defense finds the end zone once, and I don't know about Graham Gano, but I think he's going to go. I know Graham Gano, they were saying he had an injury, and I think he's going to go. Yeah, I'm looking it up. He's going to play. Graham Gano is going to be good for three field goals on Sunday. The Giants, in my opinion, have to win this game by scoring 30 points. Now let's go to the phones. I think I've said enough and put enough out there. We've got plenty of Giants calls now. but we got a break. Of course. Of course. So you know what we're going to do. We're going to play these commercials. And then when we come back, I'm hitting the phones. You guys got it. We're talking Giants on the Fan right after this.
Let them have it. Call the Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
Oh, this is my jam right here. Return of the Mac. One thing I can't do is sing. Never really could hit the tunes. Get drunk and sing karaoke, but never actually could carry a note. Never learned. Could rap a little bit. It's Freestyle Friday, so I definitely got to kick some raps at some point. Whatever comes to the top of my head. Now on the top of my head, I went and checked on Graham Gano. We're talking Giants now on the Fan. Keith McPherson, your nighttime host. A 5-hour KM to AM. You get it. Graham Gano was sick this week. That's why he missed some practice time. But he's going to play. He's going to be full go. And as I was saying, I went back to my notes. As I was saying that the Giants have to score 30, the Lions are giving up a league-high 29.3. If there's a team that you can score 30 points on, here they are. And they're coming to your stadium. They're coming to your home where you just won last week against the Texans. And you're coming off the bye now 2 weeks and the expectations have changed. The New York football Giants are going to the playoffs, and it's going to get shaky in these next few games after this. So this is a game they have to win. In my opinion, facing Dallas, then facing Washington, then facing the Eagles, then facing Washington, that is a gauntlet of the NFC East. It gets colder. You guys have seen it before. Like, it could go any way. I think they'll beat the Commanders once. But you don't know. The Commanders are feeling themselves, right? They just beat the Eagles. The Commanders are getting Chase Young back. You don't know how that's going to go. Control what you can control. And I feel like the Giants are doing that. They are focused on right now. Playoffs, they're not focused on the playoffs. They're focused on going 1-0 every week. And that's a good mentality to have. I don't think they're going to fall into the trap. I don't think it's necessarily a trap game, but I don't think it's not a trap game. When you look at a trap game, it's when a good team faces a bad team and has another good team the week after, so they overlook the team in front of them. I don't expect the Giants to overlook the Lions. I know Daboll has respect for Dan Campbell, knows Dan Campbell, and has already said, hey, this team plays like their head coach. It's going to be smash-mouth football. It's going to be a tough game. There's going to be a lot of hitting, a lot of running the football, but ultimately there's going to be a lot of points scored. And the Giants got to put up 30. I think Graham Gano is going to get at least 3 field goals in there. He might kick for 4 or 5 if they can't get in the end zone. But the way that I shook it up, or the way I broke it down, like I just said to you, I think the Giants got to score twice. With the offense, has to, you know, put together drives, get in the end zone twice, maybe a defensive score. And then Graham Gano kicked 3 or 4 field goals. And there's your 30 points right there. It can happen. Or it could be completely opposite of that. You know how football goes. You think you know 1 week, and then you don't know anything. And you see a game where you're like, wait, what? What was that? Let me see what the over-under is. If I'm expecting the Giants to score 30 points, the over-under is at 45. So if we're expecting the Giants to score 30, they got to hold Detroit to 13, 14, 17, and I think that's possible. Keith McPherson on the Fan. The number to dial to join in on the Giants conversation is 877-337-6666. I've got plenty more to add, but I want to hear from you. Let's go to the calls right now. Out in California is Mark on the Fan in New York City. Hello, Mark.
What's up, Keith? I've been listening to you for the last hour and a half now. You had a caller earlier that came on that said, game managers don't win in the playoffs. Well, let me just tell that caller one thing. Hopefully he's listening. You know, Manning had 37 game-winning drives. Count them, 37. And mind you, he won us 2 Super Bowls, and I love that game manager. So I don't think that caller really knows what
he's
talking about.
Yeah, I heard that, and I thought that too. I'm like, I could list off the guys that have gotten to the Super Bowl, won the Super Bowl. And we've already done that in the recent weeks, because everybody wants to call Daniel Jones a game manager. You got to be able to at least manage the game.
Right. And, I mean, Eli Manning holds the record for the most game-winning drives in one season. That was 2011. He had 8 of those. Right now, Jones has 5, and he holds the record for 5 through the first 7 weeks of a season. No one's ever done that before. So this guy definitely...
He's a winner. He's more than a game manager.
He's a winner, for sure. I mean, and now you're finally seeing it in this year 3 with him, that under the right coaching and tutelage, he's kind of, you know, taken off just a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I think if the Giants were to sign, okay, Odell Beckham, they would be an NFC favorite to go to the Super Bowl. Just because, and here's a crazy statistic if you don't know, Keith. One of the most unbelievable statistics for the Giants. The G-men have only completed 2 passes that have traveled 20 or more yards in the air this season. 9 games, 2 passes. That's it. Okay? So you give the Giants a weapon that will take all the pressure off of Saquon, especially in the backfield. Take all the pressure off Slayton. Right, especially when they get Bellinger back, that's going to open up the field even more. Their defense is actually pretty good. Outside of that Seattle game where Wink Martindale didn't blitz at all in that last drive, which I don't know why, he went 5 for 5. I think this Detroit defense, which we've all heard is the worst defense in football, right, has to stop Saquon, and that's what Seattle did. They shut Saquon down. They forced Jones to throw it 31 times, and it wasn't very good. So if you can do that, and that's pretty much what the Eagles are going to do, a lot of these teams are trying that, you can't stop Saquon because he's Saquon, right?
Yep.
And last week, they went against Houston, which had a terrible run defense, and he had 155 yards. So I expect this to be a ground-and-pound game. If the Giants' defense can shut them down for the first couple of drives like they did to David Mills, Goff's a good quarterback, but he's also been sacked 15 times in the last 4 games. So I'm hoping, and Lawrence doesn't even play this week, which I'm hoping he does. You know, he has a little bit of an injury. Everyone's banged up. But just got to hope that everyone stays healthy. Whether win or loss, you stay healthy because you got Dallas right after that. So it's like you don't want to have any injuries.
Yep, have quick turnaround, short week.
Right. So,
thanks for the call, Mark. Appreciate it, man. A couple good things that Mark mentioned in there, right? But things I want to add, right? They're not playing against the 12th man in Seattle. They're going to be at home with their fans. Giants fans are going to show up again. They've been there all season. They're going to be loud. They're going to be rowdy. I love how the Giants have set up their schedule where they have these like back-to-back home games. If you didn't go last week, you're going this week. And that will be there to help Daniel Jones and the Giants offense. I'm also in here watching the Knicks right now. Klay Thompson just got in the game. It's 27-10, Warriors. The Warriors are struggling this year, but I already told you, they play great at the Chase Center. They built them a basketball palace after they, you know, got out of the crummy Oracle in Oakland. I don't know if the Knicks are going to be able to pull off a win in this one. The first quarter's got 3 minutes left, but just looking at the energy that the Warriors are playing with, it might be a long night for the Knicks. The Warriors need a get-right game, and it's looking like the Knicks are the get-right game early on. Steph just missed a free throw. What's up with Steph missing free throws? KD missing free throws? Are these guys supposed to be like 95% from the line, 90%? I don't know. But back to the Giants. And, you know, Davis Mills from the Texans, man. He was getting numbers late in that game and moving the ball. I didn't know what that was. But Jared Goff, I don't look at him as a threat. I think they can rattle him. I think they can rush the passer, get to him. I don't think he's going to come into MetLife and put up huge numbers, but where his numbers grow is not tackling. They got to tackle these guys. They got to tackle DeAndre Swift. They got to tackle Amon-Ra St. Brown. They got to get these guys on the ground, because if, you know, yards after catch come after they make you miss, that's how the numbers go up. But I don't think Goff is airing it out, man. What's the weather supposed to be like? I don't even know where my phone is to check the weather. It'll probably be cold. It'll probably be windy, but it's the Meadowlands, right? It's Jersey. It's not, you know, they play in Detroit, but they play inside. And I just think it's going to be in the Giants' favor. I don't think the Giants are going to lose this game. I think they're a better coach team, even though it's their first year with this coaching staff, even though, you know, they're new with these guys. Like, I think they know where they are right now. They know that they can't lose this game. They can't lose this game. They have hopes and aspirations of making it to the playoffs, and I think they will make it to the playoffs in this first year. Can't have a letdown now because, like I've said a bunch of times, expectations have changed for the New York Football Giants. Manny is in Brooklyn coming up next on The Fan. You got it, Manny.
Keith, how's it going, man?
Pretty good, pretty good. Watching the Knicks now, checking the weather for Sunday. What you got for us?
Yeah, so this Giants game, it's going to be an interesting one coming up. This Lions team, you know, you were right. They were very close on a lot of games, and it's going to be very interesting. The Giants really do need to get a win out of this. What do you think?
Yeah, I think the fact that the Lions have played close and they've won back-to-back weeks, they're coming in riding high. If you get a team like the Lions when they started off, like I said, 1-6, you know, they're not feeling themselves so much. They're not feeling like they can win. But I think that Dan Campbell has them believing, and I hear him. I hear how he talks to his team. He tells them it's hard to get a win in the NFL. They're riding high off the fact that they beat their division rivals. They haven't beat the Bears and the Packers consistently. The Bears are trash. The Packers are trash. They got back-to-back right. wins off of those guys, and now they're coming to MetLife thinking, hey, we got to keep this thing rolling. We could be 4-6. And I think they're going to come in and try and compete. The weather is going to be 46 degrees and, you know, 15-mile-an-hour winds, partly cloudy, whatever. It's going to look – it's probably going to be gray and cold and look like a regular MetLife Stadium day. It's on the Giants, right? The Giants need to go out there, assert themselves, establish the run, and then mix it up in the pass game, take some shots, let Daniel Jones go for it. I don't know if they're going to target Galladay, whatever. Go to Isaiah Hodgins. Slayton has shown you that he's got big playability. Get him in open space. Go to the tight end. You know, just get the ball into the hands of the playmakers. If it's Richie James, fine. But I think Wan'Dale Robinson is actually going to be able to go. I know he missed some time in practice this week, but I think they're saying they're leaning towards him playing, which is good. I think you'd rather have the ball in Wan'Dale Robinson's hands than Richie James's hands. I'm looking at Daniel Jones. If there's a week for Daniel Jones to have 300 yards passing and, you know, two or three touchdowns passing, it would be great for that to be this week.
Yeah, against the Lions, is definite. That'll definitely be the team. One more thing I wanted to get your opinion on. What do you think about these picks that are from Dave Gettleman, how they're shining now? I mean, how does it look for him?
We were actually talking about that. Chris McMonagle did a good job talking about Dave Gettleman, and we spent some time yesterday talking about it. Thank you for the call, Manny. And what we said was we talked a little bit about how Giants fans didn't even want Dave Gettleman to have his family on the field at the end of the season. They didn't even want the guy to get a proper send-off. And I understand. You're upset, and this guy was the architect of why you're upset. And you looked at him as he, you know, he made so many mistakes. Get this guy out of here. We want him fired. That's what C-Mac was saying. We want him fired. They should just fire him. It isn't a mutual, you know, any, like, they should come out and say he was fired. And they didn't do that. The Maras didn't do that. And I think over time, especially right now, right, it's been a year just about, you know, you knew this time last year that Gettleman was gone. But I think over time, you're going to look at some of these Gettleman picks and say, hey, actually, he didn't do that bad of a job. Maybe he did a bad job, and the organization did a bad job with the leadership and the coaching. But, like, Saquon Barkley is a generational running back. He's a different kind of guy. If he stays healthy, and he didn't in his early on, and I know people were ready to say he was a BUST. Chris McMonagle yesterday said, still number two overall. You don't draft a running back number two overall. Well, they did. And Saquon is the type of guy that I think has already voiced that he wants to stay here, and I think he will work with the team to stay here. He will work with the Giants on a fair contract, but a contract that will not stop them from bringing in other talented free agents and players. He wants to be a Giant for life. He wants his legacy to be with the New York Giants. You drafted him number two overall. You want him to work out, and he has. He has. He's a leading rusher in the NFL. He has, like, he is a home run hitter. Get him in space. Daniel Jones, you used the number six overall pick on Daniel Jones. You don't want him to be a BUST. You don't want that with your number one or your number six overall first round pick quarterback. You want him to keep growing and blossoming. And look, perfect. He's got Brian Daboll now. Don't you want to see him grow under Daboll? If he's able to win 7 out of 9 games in his first year with this coach, and this coach chewed him out in game one and held him accountable, and you see that he's able to take the coaching, and you see that he has a relationship with Daboll, don't you want to see more of that? I think you do. Andrew Thomas is the greatest pick of the David Gettleman era. That guy is going to be a solid left tackle in the NFL for as long as he's healthy. He's ridiculous. Andrew Thomas, I was reading some of the numbers, and we got to go to break. I was reading some of the numbers to C-Mac, and I was saying Talking Giants put out like a thing like get him the awards now and some shirts. Andrew Thomas, through 9 games, has 0 sacks allowed, 1 QB hit, and that was week 2. He hasn't allowed the quarterback to be hit by his guy in 9 weeks? That's ridiculous. 9 pressures allowed. 9 pressures. Only 3 in the last game. So that's a guy on that side of the line that you don't have to worry about. And Dave Gettleman drafted him. There's other guys too. And we don't have all the time to go through it. But I think over time, David Gettleman will be excused a little bit. And he'll be remembered more for some of these picks that he did hit on. And not the Kadarius Tonys of the world and some of the mistakes with the coachings and coaching hirings and other things. 877-337-6666. Got my eyes on the Knicks game. We're still talking Giants. Keith McPherson on the Fan, coming back after this quick timeout.
Go for it. Call the Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
Some know. DMX, rest in peace, Earl Simmons. Keith McPherson on the Fan, checking back in, man. It's a 5-hour KM to AM, but the time is flying. Got a little bit more than an hour left, and I wanted to go back to something that Max was talking about with Odell Beckham, and then also something we were talking about with Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley, you have to re-sign, in my humble opinion. And the New York Post has an article out there, a good article that all Giants fans should read by Ryan Dunleavy. Shout out to Ryan Dunleavy, wherever he is. Ryan Dunleavy actually came to the MLB Fan Cave and wrote the article on me in 2014. And fast forward to now, he's covering the Giants for the New York Post. So he writes about Saquon Barkley, and he says Saquon is the exception to the rule for not giving running backs a second contract. And there's so many reasons, right? When I look at Saquon, I look at him as a good guy. He's a good person. You don't have to worry about him off the field. He's a family-oriented man. He has a young daughter, a wife. You already hear a lot about his dad and his mom coming in. And he came in young. He's 25. So, you know, the old thing they used to say about running backs is still true, right? Running backs over 30, right? You don't want to sign a running back over 30. So don't. Sign him to a contract that by the time he's 30, he's out of the contract. Sign him to a contract for 4 years, max 5 years. And you don't necessarily have to give him the Christian McCaffrey money. I think, what did McCaffrey sign for? Like $64 million? That's what I say. I think Saquon will work with the team. He understands that you're coming out of the Dave Gettleman era. He understands that Kenny Golladay is on this team making $70 million or whatever he's making. So I don't think Golladay's making that much. I don't know how much he's making, actually. But Saquon is worth the money because he's the leader of the team. What are the Giants right now without Saquon Barkley, right? You talk about how they don't have any receivers. What are they going to just pivot next year and have Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle? Obviously not. But like, what are the Giants right now without, like, he is the star of their offense. He is their home run hitter. Oh, I was right. Kenny Golladay's got a 4-year, $72 million contract, so he is making $70 million. What a joke. Like, he's robbing the Giants, bro. That's why I know this regime doesn't owe him anything. They didn't make the deal. They didn't sign him. But I just think this weekend they're going to try against his old team. If that doesn't fire him up to go out there, catch the ball, and make plays, I think they're going to target him at least once. If he drops the first one, they probably won't do it again. But I think they're going to give him a shot. Back to Saquon. Saquon has expressed he wants to be here. He's going to work with the Giants. And he's still got that burst. He's not like Ezekiel Elliott, who, like, after Ezekiel Elliott signed for 6 years, $90 million. Like, there's no way in hell you give him that contract. Jerry Jones, bugging out. They're not going to do that for Saquon. They're not going to give him $90 million. They also aren't going to give him 6 years. But they'll figure out how to give him a respectable deal that he doesn't feel disrespected and that locks him in to be a Giant probably till 30. And then, you know, they'll revisit the next contract, right? How long is he going to play as a running back? He's already dealt with ACL, ankles. Like, he's not going to play until he's, you know, Tom Brady at 45. He's not going to play until he's 35. He's not going to be able to take that many hits, right? Saquon is worth the money. And so is Odell Beckham. And I think Odell Beckham Jr., OBJ, coming back to the Giants is the story now. I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. I told you that, unfortunately. I signed up for the Cowboys' misery when they were good. When I was a little boy, they were winning Super Bowls. No one told me to be a Giants fan. My brother tried, but sibling rivalry. I wasn't going the way my brother was already rocking. I went against. And here I am with these frauds, America's team to laugh at, but I think it's a good perspective for me on WFAN talking about the Giants, right? I'm a Cowboys fan that has always paid attention to the Giants, and I have a little different lens than being a fan. And I look at Odell Beckham Jr., if he's choosing between the Cowboys and the Giants, it's a no-brainer to go back home to the Giants. CeeDee Lamb went off last week. Jerry Jones is trying to make CeeDee Lamb the number one. That's why he moved away from Amari Cooper. Got nothing for him in a trade and elevated CeeDee Lamb, Giants fans remember him dropping that wide open pass, but then he came back with a ridiculous one-handed catch. CeeDee Lamb is the guy in Dallas. And then behind him is Michael Gallup and Noah Brown. And yes, they could make room for an Odell Beckham, but he's going to want the ball. You come back to the Giants, none of those receivers are Odell Beckham. None of those receivers are OBJ. And we don't know what OBJ is right now, right? We're assuming he's going to be some version of his older or some version of himself, but he's older now. He's coming off a knee injury, an ACL again, and he's had injuries in the past. I just think it's a no-brainer. And he kind of got Giants fans going on Twitter this week, or not even this week, today. 10 hours ago, the Giants and Jets MetLife Stadium will replace its current turf with artificial grass in 2023. BR Gridiron put that out on Twitter. That was per Jordan Renan. And Odell Beckham Jr. replied to that with 4 hard eye emojis. So Giants fans are like, yo, he's coming back. This is it. I think he does want to come back. I think he knows this would be a good place for his family. His wife being a model, like fitness model, and I think I told you guys, she used to work at MTV. When I worked at MTV, she was one of the Wild and Out girls for Nick Cannon's show, Wild and Out. I used to be the social media guy for Wild and Out. I built all the social media channels. They're ridiculous now. They have like millions of followers, but I was the guy making the Instagram, the Twitter, the Facebook, YouTube. Now Wild and Out is much bigger. I have no idea what they're doing now. But bringing her back east, I'm sure she's going to have some business opportunities, raising his son here in New York, New Jersey. I think Odell Beckham Jr. comes back to the Giants. I'd like to see it. And I'm a Cowboys fan who definitely thought about, hey, Odell Beckham Jr. joining the Cowboys this year gives him another threat. But the Cowboys are frauds, man, so I don't want to see him go there and then upset the Giants fans because he's putting on the star. Nah, it's a better story to come full circle, come back home. I hear Tiki Barber say this. He says, the team that drafted you, no one's going to love you like the team that loved you or the fan base that first loved you. No one's going to love you like your mama loves you. That's what Tiki said, right? The team that drafted you, the fans that saw you make the one-handed catch, saw you take slants to the house, saw you have all these different touchdown celebrations and, marrying, proposing to the kicking net and all these antics and the blonde hair. And then the off-the-field stuff, we'll leave that out of the show. But you guys know, that's all in the past. This is low-cut Odell with his natural hair color. He's a father now. He's 30 years old now. Him coming back to New York would be a full-circle moment and story. I think the NFL would love it, and I know Giants fans would love it. And let's just talk the football of it. They need someone. They need a playmaker. And Odell Beckham Jr. poses a threat, even if he's not the old Odell Beckham Jr. that you saw running around MetLife when he first came in. What you saw him do for the Rams last year, he was immediate impact. He scored a touchdown in the Super Bowl. I bet that he can still do that, and I bet he's healthy right now, but he's working out. and he's tuning up so that when he comes in, he can make that instant impact. He can be effective. He can line up one-on-one and beat corners. He can line up and go deep, run the slant, get the ball in his hand, make a guy miss, and go to the house. So I'm all for OBJ's reunion with the Giants. We'll be covering it here on WFAN if it happens. We've been covering it for, you know, the last couple months. I think it'd be a great idea. I think they can figure out a way. He said he wants to be in the next place for 3 to 4 years, right? So figure out a way to structure that contract. And I know it's tough because you want to give the guy a one-year deal to see what he has, but I don't know, maybe there's somewhere in the Mara's family or in the Giants where they say, hey, this is a guy we drafted, and we want to give him a three-year deal and structure it where, you know, we're not losing too much money at first, or, you know, I don't know. They'll figure it out. Joe Shane, it's on you. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Call me up, 877-337-6666. We're going to keep talking Giants, but we're going into my last hour of the show. We're going to shift and talk a little bit more Jets to wrap up this Football Friday tonight. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Fan. I'll be right back.